So are you blessed this morning? Me too. Galatians 6, 9, and 10. This is the meat of what we're going to talk about today. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Verse 10. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, we love you, we praise you, and we sure need you, Lord. Thank you so much that your mercies are new every single day. Thank you for your goodness in our life. We ask for your anointing in this service, Lord. We ask that you will strengthen us and lead us and let our ears and hearts be open to what you have for us today, Lord, that we will we won't focus on the messenger, but we will focus and receive the message that you have for us, Lord, and we will leave here changed and ready and encouraged to be about your business. We love you and praise you. Your will be done in this day and every day. In Jesus' wonderful, amazing, precious name we pray. And everybody in the church said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord some praise. Thank you, Jesus. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Galatia, is giving them some great encouraging advice. And we're just jumping right in the middle of the Apostle Paul's letter. But this is kind of what I've been chewing on for the last couple few weeks. I've been just kind of digging into these verses right here. So I just want to share them with you guys. And it's really been speaking to me. And what Sister Bray said today really, really blessed me. It's just confirmation, because it's what the Lord has been talking to me about, you know, just moving forward in Him, you know, and saying no to these temptations, saying no. And when I say temptations, you know, a lot of times we think about what we would consider like gross, nasty sin, you know, like adultery or something like that. I'm not talking about that. You know what I mean? I'm not talking about that. But I'm also talking about those attitudes. I'm talking about these things that still are joy. All these things in our life, man, that get in our way from living that abundant life, or that life that God really wants us to enjoy. You know, God wants us to enjoy this life. And God doesn't want us to be burned by this life. He wants us to lean on Him. And He wants us to be productive for Him. And, you know, I've analyzed myself from time to time. Pretty much every new year, I'm like, my goodness gracious, how much time did I waste? How much time did I waste when I could have grown closer to you this year? When I could have been more about doing your business this year? And so, no, it ain't nowhere near New Year's, but it's good for us to look at our life every once in a while and say, God, I need to get things back in line. I need to get things back on track. I need to get my perspective right where it needs to be. I need to get my focus back on you. Like what John the Baptist said, it's got to be more of God and less of me. Can I get a witness? Yeah, give the Lord some praise. You know, so often we get stuck in this cycle as Christians, you know, Christian people, of sin, repent, sin, repent, sin, repent. And we're not really living in victory over these things in our life that are bringing us down. But God comes to give us life and to give us victory. And remember, you know, the power of sin for the Christian person. Okay, for the Christian person, someone that said, I'm a sinner, I need a Savior, and Jesus, you are the Savior of the world, and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, and I turn from my sins. If I'm that person, okay, the power of sin has been destroyed over my life. What are you talking about? I'm talking about I have a new master now. I have a new master now, and I don't have to give in to the same old sins. You know, the things that I've done, you know, for 20, 30 years as a Christian that I know are not right, I don't have to do that anymore. God will give me the strength to say no. And quite frankly, I got to get to the place where I want to say no. You know what I mean? That's the real thing in my life. You know, it's like, do I not want to do it anymore? Because my flesh likes to get in trouble, man. My flesh, and I'm talking about that part of me that wants to rebel against God, that part of me that wants to do what Paul wants to do and not what God wants to do. Can I get a witness? You know, but the power of sin has been broken over my life if I want that. Jesus did that on the cross. So I can say no. I can say, you know, we can be little Nancy Reagans, every single one of us, and say no. No. Remember, what did Nancy Reagan say? Just say no, right? Something like that, yeah? Yeah, okay, whatever. That worked out really good for America, by the way. Anywho, tell the truth, shame the devil. Let's get going here, right? If you're ready to dig into the word, say, go ahead and get going. All right. And let us not grow weary of doing good. God wants his people to do good. And what we really want to talk about today, because this doing good, there's a lot of different avenues we can take. And maybe in the, at least next week, Lord willing, we'll investigate one of these other avenues as far as doing good, as far as a personal ministry or sowing into other people's lives. But today I want to focus on doing good myself, for myself, saying no to evil. What's the opposite of good? Bad. What's the opposite of good? Evil, to say no to what Satan wants me to do. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about me allowing God to mature me this week. Amen. So if we look at Ephesians 2 and verse 10, it's right there in your monitor. It's on your bulletin. We see this kind of backed up as Paul talks to the Ephesian church. And this isn't a new verse for anybody, but that's good. That's good, because I want us to kind of work on memorizing these things, at least get the spirit of it in my heart, what God is telling me. Amen? And it don't hurt to memorize, by the way. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So, okay, here's one thing we got to do, man, is look at how God sees me. Look at how God sees me. Well, how does God see me, okay? This is what God says about you. As a Bible-believing Christian, as a blood-bought Christian, as someone that's accepted Jesus Christ, okay? He says, for we are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. We are his work of art. The Christian person is God's, his crowning achievement, his masterpiece. Out of all the things this amazing God, our creator, has created and continues to do and build, all these amazing things. Look at the mountains, look at the ocean, look at the life in the ocean, look at the stars in the sky, look at the moon. Have anybody seen the moon lately? Goodness gracious. You know, look at God's creation, and that's God's number one missionary right there. God's number one witness is creation, by the way. Okay? Well, every time you look at it, man, unless you push the truth away, your heart is telling you, man, there's a God. There's a God. But anyways, moving forward, that's just food for thought. But moving forward, God says the Christian person is something unique. All right? Not that we get on our pedestal and look down on other people, because without God's grace, that's you. Whatever you want to condemn or talk down about somebody else, you need to understand, without God's grace, that's you right there, man. You could have been the one that woke up in the gutter. You could have been the one that didn't wake up in the gutter, but somebody found you in the gutter. Can I get a witness? Okay? You ain't better than anybody else. You just accepted that perfect, precious gift. But this is how God sees you. He says, you are my masterpiece. You are my work of art. You are something that never existed. Okay? But because of Christ, because accepting Christ, and because of his blood washing away your sins, you become a new creation. I'm a new creation in Christ. I am special to God. Okay? Moving forward. Give the Lord some praise, because this is good news. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. But what are we created in Christ Jesus for? Check this out. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Wow, you ever think about that? Let's carry on with the verse. Which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So God had good things for us to do before we were ever created. God said, I'm going to enlist, Brother Larry, I'm going to enlist Brother Dalton, I'm going to enlist Sister So-and-so, I'm going to enlist these people and use them in Santa Rosa County and beyond for these years because I want them to do good. And like I said, we want to let our light shine. We want to have every single one of us have been called to be ministers of the gospel. I'm not saying every single person has been called to be a pastor, and God bless you, you know. I'm not saying everybody's been called to do what I'm doing, but he has called us, every single one of us, to be ministers of the gospel, you know, to spread his word, to let our light shine. But honestly, what I really want to focus on today is doing good in my own life, saying no to sin, yes to God, letting God do that work in me that he wants to do. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Jesus. So let's look at Galatians 6, 9 and 10 again. It's right here on the monitor. And let us not grow weary, remember that, of doing good. God says, I want my people to do good. I want them to be good. I want them to be good. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. Verse 10, so then as we have opportunity, let us do good. Okay, those two verses, something's really going on there. God's saying, I want my people to do good. I want them to bear fruit for me. Okay, and look at this part right here. It says, let us not grow weary. You ever get weary of doing the right thing? Let's be honest, man. We're in church right now. You know, you ever get tired of doing the right thing? Well, maybe, maybe not. Okay. Well, God is warning us, the Apostle Paul through the Holy Spirit is warning us, hey, this Christian road ain't the easy road, but it's the road you need to be taking here. You know, this is the road that leads to life. And he says, don't grow weary or don't be discouraged or don't get wore out, don't get burnt out of doing the right thing. Don't be discouraged. Don't let it wear you out. Okay, he's stressing that. Don't grow weary. Well, there are some things that we can do to make sure we don't grow weary, or when we catch ourselves being wore out, tired, just tired of doing the right thing, that can get us back on track, you know? And this is what we really need to apply to our life, as opposed to just doing the wrong thing, you know, because I'm tired of doing the right thing. I'm tired of doing what the good book says. Let me go back and do it the way that used to work for me before I got Jesus. Man, it didn't really work for you before you got Jesus. And if you think it did, go back and try it again. It's not going to work out. It's just not. It's, you're going to dig yourself into such a huge hole, man. Can I get a witness? God's mercies are new every day, and he can rebuild lives, and he wants to rebuild lives, and he is committed to rebuilding lives. Even when you can look at your life and say, this is just too messed up. There's no way to unravel this mess. There's no way to connect this back together. No, you can't do it, but God can. And so that's what we got to do. We got to get back on track, and that starts by making that decision. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm not going to do what Paul wants to do, because the best that Paul can do is just make a big old mess. And that's the truth. Okay? So look at Isaiah 40. Yeah, Isaiah 40, 30 and 31. Okay. Even youths, that means young people, youths, tell the truth, whatever. Tell the truth, shame the devil. I have trouble with a couple words, but I'm working on it. Even youths, even young people shall faint and be weary. Okay, so look, even those that you would expect to not grow weary. You might expect somebody that's right at 50 to grow weary. You might expect somebody that's had some health issues to grow a little weary after what he could do 3-4 years before he got sick or whatever. But see, God says in this world, man, okay, when you're doing your own thing, check this out. Even youths, even young people, I swear I'm not trying to do that. Even young people shall faint and be weary. And young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord, or for they who trust in the Lord, are those who put their hope in the Lord. So I'm putting my trust in God. That's different than trying to do it on my own power, because I can't say no to a lot of temptations on my own, man. I just can't. You know, I used to be a slave to sin. Jesus has defeated the power of sin over my life, but sometimes I don't want to live like that. Sometimes I don't want to have the victory over certain things, or I don't know how to have the victory over certain things. I got to understand, Jesus already paid for the victory over that. And I can't say no and move forward on my own power. And like I said, I'm not just talking about looking at the dirty pictures on the computer or whatever. I'm not just talking about, you know, fill in the blank of some gross, detestable type behavior you think I might be talking about. But yeah, I am talking about that. But I'm talking about some of us are just walking around miserable, man, because we're believing lies of the devil. We're believing lies of the devil, like I'm no good and all this stuff. Or, you know, I've done too much damage. God can't use me. God can't forgive me. God's done with me. None of that's true. None of that's true. Those are all lies from the devil. Okay, but see, here we go. We can have strength instead of being weary or discouraged. Isaiah 40, 30, and 31. Even youths shall fight. Even kids shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait are those who trust in the Lord. I'm putting my trust in Him, not my own ability. Those who trust in the Lord, He shall renew their strength. He will give me strength to do what I need to do. Is that true? Yeah, man, it's true. Have you ever tried that? Yeah, God will give you the strength to do the right thing. You want to say no to something and you don't have the power on your own? Yeah, newsflash, you don't have the power. I don't have the power, man. Not with a lot of this stuff. Some things ain't no problem, like all of you. Some things, man, you can say no to. No, I ain't supposed to do that. But some things, you're like, cool. You know? Well, yeah, I mean, if that's your thing, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, Sister Dita. But they who trust in the Lord, He shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. I like that part, man. Mount up with wings like eagles, not like some chicken, even though Josh and Dina have chickens that get up way up in the trees and stuff like that. Yeah, they do. They got, I never seen. Anyway, we'll talk about that next week's sermon. But tell the truth. Okay, but look, what I'm talking about is like an eagle, man. I can soar above all this ruckus. I can soar above all of it. You know what I mean? Thank you, Jesus. Well, have you heard what's going on with the government? Have you heard what's going on down at the marketplace? Yeah, I mean, yeah, I did, but okay. I'm trusting in God. I'm trusting in God. Let God be true and every man a liar. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. God's got something for you to do, man. God says, I want you to be busy doing good, man. In your own life, I want you to be busy doing good and not bad, right? I want you to do the right thing. Okay. You shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not be faint. See, God has the prescription for giving us strength when we get weary, when we get so discouraged because I'm at the point in my life where this has happened or I'm so lonely. And I'm not saying these aren't real things, but I'm saying God is the prescription. He has what we need to get moving forward. Amen? Okay, look at Isaiah 40 and verse 29. One of my favorite verses, man. I quote it all the time to myself. He gives strength to the weary. Is that true? Yeah, it's true, man. He gives strength to the weary. I got to lean on Him. I got to realize I can't do this on my own, okay? He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. So the Apostle Paul says, look, God's people need to be doing good. God's people need to be doing the right thing in their life and everywhere else. And He says, don't grow weary. Don't get tired of doing it. And then the prescription is to lean on God. Let God give you strength. Amen. Can I get a witness? Let's go to the next slide. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Thank you, Jesus. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. That's something that we got to remember. It's everybody that would be reading this right here in that culture, in that society, would get it. They would understand what the Apostle Paul's talking about, man. It's the old farming thing, man. It's the old picture of planting a seed, doing the fertilizer, tilling up the dirt in that order. No, you know, doing what you got to do, watering it, but then you have to wait, man. You keep serving God. You keep doing what you got to do, and don't allow yourself to grow weary, because it will sprout up. There will be a harvest one day, and it'll be a good harvest. Or we can sow to the flesh, you know, just being rebellious, even if you don't see it that way. That's what you're doing. You know, you're going to sow a bad harvest if you sow to the flesh. You're going to reap a bad harvest if you sow to the flesh. But if I devote myself to doing what God wants me to do, you know what I mean? I'm going to reap an amazing harvest one day. Okay. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season, in God's perfect timing, you will reap a harvest if we do not give up. No, when that happens, that means it's time for everyone to stand up and stretch. Because that means... Yeah. All right. Yeah, what's going on today? Thank you, Miss Brenda. God wants us to do good and not evil. Yeah. And that is so simple when you say it like that. But man, it's kind of difficult when you set your mind to it. You know? But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And it says, and let us not grow weary of doing good. Because sometimes we can get to the place like, man, God, I did it your way. I did it your way, and it's not working out. I'm going to go back and do it the old way. Which maybe you would never even mouth those words. But we sure do it sometimes, you know. Or we can be like, you know, I just feel like being a little naughty. I've been good. I've been going to church here and there, whatever. Watch that TV preacher guy there. I've been doing all right. I think I'm going to go out and let my hair down a little bit and sample this old, you know, from back in the old day. Try that one more time around. Or, man, you know, man, I've had a real crummy day. Maybe I need to go get. Our mind goes crazy, and it's real easy for us to get in trouble, and it's real easy to convince ourselves, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's not going to be a pretty picture. Look at Lot's wife. Okay, Lot's wife. God says, looky here. Looky here, Lot. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. All right? It's just time for God's judgment to be poured out on these twin cities right here. Lot, get your wife, get your daughters, and I want you guys out of here. Don't look back. Do not look back. And what you're going to be missing. Don't look back, man. It's done. That chapter's finished, man. There's nothing back there for you. Here comes God's judgment. Lot and his wife and his daughters being led away by the angels. City's being destroyed. What does Lot's wife do? Looks back. Boom. That was the end of her. What about, you find example after example where God says, no, just leave that stuff in the past. The Apostle Paul even says, the time for doing all that crazy, wacky business, that's far gone, man. You belong to God now, okay? So if you didn't do it back then, okay, whatever. You're not doing it now. Don't do it. Just let it go, okay? But look, man, okay, so look at the Israelites. We got this, I know we're up. Look at the Israelites for a second, man. They were brought out of 400 years of bondage, 400 years of slavery in Egypt. Can I get a witness? There's a picture in that. Egypt represents the world, man. It represents my old way of life. Does that make sense? That life before I belonged to God, when I was still in slavery, when I was still in bondage, okay? But now I've been set free, so I don't need to live like I'm a slave anymore. Can I get a witness? So here's the Israelites out there in the wilderness, and they begin to listen to the rabble. Well, who's the rabble? The rabble were these guys that kind of tagged along from Egypt. Not necessarily slaves, but guys that were just kind of, wow, this God of Israel thing, this is amazing, man. I've spent my whole life watching all these people pray to these fake false gods and the God of the Nile, all these gods that haven't produced anything. And here the God of Israel just one by one dethrones and dismantles all the gods of Egypt. So there was a group of people that when the Israelites broke free, they're like, and Egypt was turned upside down from all the plagues. It was not a good time to be in Egypt. There was a group of folks that said, I'm just going to go with these Israelites, man. Peace, deuces. That's what the kids say. They say deuces. I don't know if they say that anymore. I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But anywho, a group of them left with the Israelites and this, which was called the rabble. And the rabble, these hangers-oners, begin to complain and grumble. But it didn't just stay with them, these people that weren't in a relationship with God. It didn't just stay with them, but the people that were in a covenant relationship with God begin to pick up what the rabble were talking about. I was like, yeah, man, yeah. Well, what was the rabble talking about? How good it was back in Egypt. They forgot about how messed up the place was, especially the Israelites, man. You were slaves. Sometimes we forget what God has delivered us from, that we were slaves, that we were not only on our way to hell, but we were miserable. You know, there's nothing back there for us. And sin is joyful for a season. Man, I know it. I dig it. Tell the truth, shame the devil. It is, man. That's how it gets a hold of you. But we can't. We don't have business messing with that anymore. Okay. So Numbers 11:15, this is the Israelites. This is what they begin to say. We remember the fish we ate. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt. Yeah, on your long weekends, on your holiday weekends, when you get to go fishing with the kids and go to the beach and fly the kite. Man, you were slaves. You couldn't do any of that. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. Cost nothing. You were a slave, man. You were making no money. It cost nothing. Well, maybe if you got to go in the kitchen, you might be able to steal a little bit of fish. But that, see, that's how the old life just kind of, it's exciting to us when we look back at it. Like, man, that was rad. That was awesome. No, man, we don't need to go back there. It ain't like you remember it. We remember the fish we ate in Egypt that cost nothing. The cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. Remember all that good stuff. And now all we are is eating this manna all the time. Man, God is super, listen, church people, God was supernaturally providing for them food. It was falling from the sky every single morning. God was providing for them what they needed while they're on this journey. But they begin to listen to the wrong people or the wrong message, right? The wrong message. Satan throws those fiery darts at us. Don't entertain them. Sometimes we have to remove ourselves from bad influences. People, yeah, you got to do that sometimes, man. But sometimes it's just as like, okay, I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil anymore. I'm going to rebuke that nonsense. I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to push it away and put what God says about me in place. You know, they were listening to the wrong people. They begin to grumble and complain and gripe and say, we had it so much better when we were ordered to take our children and throw them in the Nile River. It wasn't so bad. Look at all the kids you got now, man. I wish you would throw a couple of them kids in the Nile River. Yeah. That's how it is, man. We look back on it, like, oh man, woo dog. There's nothing for us back there. All right. But there's healing in repenting. His mercies are new every day, man. And you know, I'm not on my high horse, man. I gotta ask God to forgive me all the time, man. It's so easy to get a bad attitude or get negative or, you know, or get weary in doing good. And I say, you know, the next time that happens, someone's going to find their car in the parking lot with a couple baseball bat holes in it. With Jesus Loves You scratched in it. The next time, we can't grow weary in doing good. We got to trust in God. Look at Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26 and verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace. I like that. Not you will keep him in temporal peace until I realized I just spent all my money on rubbish and I done maxed out my credit cards on rubbish. Or you'll keep in temporal peace until I finished the bottle and even got the worm in my belly now. Not temporal peace, but he will keep me in perfect peace. This is the God type of peace. Not because everything's going my way type of peace, because that's not lasting peace, okay? Because that'll crumble real fast, okay? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. Not on myself, right? Not on myself and how I've been abused and mistreated and dealt the horrible hand of cards in life. Well, this is the hand of cards you got in life, man. This is what you got. So play them, man. You know, this is what I got. Let me see what God can do with this. God can do a lot with that when you give it all to him. Whatever. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. We got to keep our focus on God and not ourselves. That's true. And that's hard for us. That's hard for every single human being, man, because I live in this body of, I'm not going to say nothing bad about myself. I know you're going, yeah, he's about to call himself a big fat lord. I could feel it. No, don't even think that. I'm God's masterpiece. Yes, I am. Okay. We remember the fish. Let's move forward. Now, okay, so we're getting close to finishing this thing up for today, but I want to talk about this guy, man. He's a very interesting guy. His name is King Saul, okay? King Saul is a really interesting dude. He was the first king of Israel. The Israelites go over to the promised land. This is way down the road, man. They're in the promised land. They were ruled by judges. They didn't have a king. God was supposed to be their king. And they begin to say, I want to be like the other nations, all these nations around us that are not godly. I want to be like these nations that worship demons and do what we, I want to be like, I want them, I want to have a king. I want to have a king, a flesh and bone king, like all the neighbors got. I want one of them. And they wouldn't give it up. So God said, okay, I'll give you what you want. Sometimes God does that in our lives. You know, I said, okay, if you really, really, really got to have it and you think it's going to be better for you, here you go, Junior. Here you go. And he will do that, man. Because, I mean, he's all about teaching us lessons and maturing his children. Well, that seems cruel. No, he is a loving father. And he is about teaching us the lessons. He wants to mature us. He's about us doing good. And sometimes we have to experience what is out there the wrong way so we can say, nah, I want to serve God. I want to do the right thing. Okay. So anyways, they wouldn't shut up. Samuel, the prophet of God, his heart's burdened about this because he feels his nation going away from God. And that's really a heavy load for him. So anyways, God gives them what they want. They get a king, and his name's Saul. It starts off decent, starts off pretty good. Well, Saul was all about kind of doing his own thing. Saul was about not waiting on God or not obeying what God said. Like some of us are sometimes. I want God's blessing in my life. I want God's mercy in my life. I want to go to heaven when I die. But while I'm here, baby, I want to do what I want to do. I want to try a little bit. Well, none of that's going to work out good. That's kind of how Saul was, man. He spent a lot of time when he could have been an amazing blessing to his people, just wasting his time. And we don't want to waste our time. Anyways, 1 Samuel 28. In verse 3, we're talking about King Saul for the next few verses. Now, Samuel had died. That was that prophet. And all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. That's kind of weird, Saul. So Saul rounded up. He said, okay, in my land, in Israel, we ain't going to have no people messing with no Ouija boards. We ain't going to have no people messing with the tarot cards. We're going to have no people no one's going to be talking to dead spirits. You're only going to be seeking God. Why would you do that? Because this was strictly against the Mosaic law. Okay, Leviticus 19 and 31. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. We have that. We have this bent in us. We're all bent to where we want to go do the things we're not allowed to do. The things that, you know, kind of naughty over here. Let me go mess around with this. You know, but God says, don't do this. Do not turn to mediums or necromancers. Do not seek them out and so make yourselves unclean by them. I am the Lord your God. He says, I'm God. You're not. I love you. You're my kids. I know what's best for you. Don't mess with this stuff. You are going to mess yourself up so hardcore if you start dabbling in this stuff. Don't do it. It was strictly illegal. So Saul, doing a good thing, said, I ain't doing that around here, man. Well, see, this is what I'm talking about this morning. The main thing, what I'm trying to talk about, is we get weary of things not going the way we think they should go, or we get weary of thinking, well, God, you know, this doing what the Bible says, it's just a waste of time. No, it's not. It's talking about a harvest, man. You got to trust in God. You got to put your trust in him during the meantime. Can I get a witness? And keep doing good. Keep doing good. Keep serving God. Say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm not. When the temptation arrows fly at you, just go ahead and do it, man. Do it. Do it, bro. Everybody's doing it. Oh, God's people. Never mind. Let's go to the next slide. Now, we're almost done. If y'all are good. It don't matter if I'm good or not. I got a date with KFC in about 30 minutes. Okay. First Samuel 28, verses 5 through 7. Saul done kicked out all the necromancers, all the mediums, all the fortune tellers. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. 1 Samuel 28, verse 5. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. Philistines, if you don't recollect, these were like the mortal enemies of Israel when Saul was king, when David was king. David pretty much put these guys in their place for the most part, you know? Well, pretty much, he sure did. Well, the Philistines were this warring group of folks, man. Anywho, moving forward, these were bad dudes. When Saul saw, Goliath was a Philistine, the giant. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. Well, see, Saul, that's why we got to put our trust in the Lord, man. You know, our God is stronger and bigger and better than anything Satan can throw our way. But see, when we get latched on to sin, when we're chasing the sin thing, things get distorted. The truth gets distorted. And we don't see God for who he is. And scripture says, magnify the Lord. Let us magnify the Lord together. Let's see God for who he really is. Anyways, he was afraid and his heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by Urim or by prophets. Verse 7. This is a little shocking verse right here. A little shocking, a little burning. That's your eyes. Then Saul said to his servants, so it doesn't look like God's going to come through for this one, man. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of doing the right thing. I'm tired of things not going the way I want it. Then Saul said to his servants, seek out for me a woman who is a medium that I may go to her and inquire of her. What? What are you talking about? Saul, that is against God's law. You yourself spent time running these guys out of the kingdom. What are you talking about? Man, let's be honest, or maybe you have no idea what I'm talking about, but I sure do. You know, sometimes, man, we're like, dude, I've done tiptoed to the edge of this cliff, and I look down, and I know I shouldn't do this, but you know what? You just run down that old boy. You know, I'm going, you know, I'm in it to, you know, whatever. Man, I've done that. I hate it. I'm forgiven. Tell the truth, right? Yeah, but I've done that knowing this is so against what God says. But you know, I'm tired of doing the right thing, man. I'm tired of trying to be the good dude in everything. You know, I'm gonna go do this one little time, and it's a trap. It's a trap, just like that fish dude in Return of the Jedi said, it's a trap. Yeah, okay. Then Saul said to his servant, seek out for me a woman who is a medium. What are you talking about? That, see how far Saul has gone? See how far, man, we can be just like that. You stand on the edge of that cliff, and instead of backing away, you're like, you back up and you get a running start. Right? All God's people said, you start off tiptoeing in the shallow end of the pool. You got it. You get it. You're smart people. Okay, so anyways, he does the exact wrong thing. You know what it causes him? His life. This causes him his life. The life of his three children. The army, the Israelite army is routed. They get their booty stomped. That's a real military term. They get their booty stomped. And it gives God's enemies a reason to boast and brag and to mock God and God's people. You know, what do you think happens when we decide that I'm going to do this, when everybody knows, oh, I saw you last week posting this on Facebook, how good God is and all this and how I'm in it to win it and I'm going to serve Jesus. And then the next week you're like, oh, I hate this person. Next time I see him, I'm going to slash their face and watch blood squirt all over the window. Man, that's messed up, right? Let's pray. Dear Lord. Dear Father God. Okay, so what are we talking about? Everybody just is backing up a little bit. Martha, get the kids. Okay. He started talking about. Okay, look, we don't have to live that way. Look at Galatians 5 and 24. And those who belong to Christ, that's you. That's you. If you've accepted, if you've made this decision, like, well, Paul, you don't know how I've been living last month, last week. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. Repent. Turn from that stuff. Ask Jesus to forgive you. Be like that prodigal son that comes running back. He'll put that robe right back on you. He'll put that ring back right back on you. And he'll rejoice. Yeah. But it's so scary sometimes, man. How do I face the people? How do I do one day at a time, one step at a time? Just serve God. Just serve God. And he can rebuild and he wants to rebuild. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh. That's some strong language, man. But everybody would have got that picture. The Apostle Paul knows everybody would have got that picture. The Apostle Paul knows everybody knew about crucifixion. The Apostle Paul knew Christians definitely knew about crucifixion. And he says, okay, take that picture of crucifixion, that brutal murdering, you know, and do this to your flesh, not literally, but that part of you that wants to rebel against God, that part that wants to think negatively about your neighbors, that part that wants to think negatively about yourself. You take that, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And sometimes we got to do that every hour, every day. I'm not going to give in to that. I'm going to do good. Romans 8, 6. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. The flesh. That part of me that doesn't want to do what I'm supposed to do. For to set the mind on the flesh is death. Look at Lot's wife. Look at the Israelites. I mean, it's all through Scripture. The Israelites, look at Saul. It's not going to turn out good. For to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the Spirit is life and peace. Who wants peace instead of all the confusion and frustration and anxiety? Set our minds on what God says about us. Set our mind on what God says. Trust in God's promises. Let's reap a harvest, man. Let's reap a good harvest, right? Of provision, of peace, of maturity, you know, of bearing fruit for God. That's why we're here, right? He says, I saved you. I created you because I want you to do some good stuff, man. Okay. Now, okay, listen to me. If you have not accepted Jesus, I know I'm going long, man. This is important. This is really, really important. If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you want to do that, I want you to pray with me. If you've ran from God and you say it's time to come back to God, I want you to pray with me as well. Everybody go ahead and pray this so those that don't want to be heard praying will can go ahead and pray it, okay? I'm just saying, man, don't condemn the way I'm asking people to be saved. I'm trying to get people into the kingdom of God. I'm trying to get people, well, that ain't how they do. Hey, I want every eye bowed and every head closed. I want every, look, man, we need people to be saved. We're talking about people's eternity. If you don't like how I do it, then I think the church down the way does it just right. Not that I want you to go, but have you put your money in offering plate yet? Pray with me, and if you mean it, God will hear you. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner, and I have fallen short. I need a Savior. I know that Jesus is the Son of God, born of a virgin, died on the cross, and rose from the dead. I ask you, Jesus, to forgive me of all my sins and be my Lord and Savior. And I will serve you from this day forward. In the wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.